Well, good morning, everyone. I welcome you to worship today at Second Baptist Church. It is an honor for you all to be here with us this morning. Jake's laughing, I don't know. And it's also an honor to have those of you online joining us too. We are so glad that you joined in for worship today. I would like to thank you, those of you who came out to our drive-through Cookies and Cocoa with Santa yesterday. Y'all, that was so much fun and so much joy in the drive up here in front of the church. And you guys came in your trucks and in your cars and your kids were in their masks and we gave out goodies and Santa was so happy and you had your letters to Santa. And it was the most fun to be part of. So thank you for those of you who participated in that. It was really great. I wanted to remind you that we have a few more weeks to reserve your poinsettias if you'd like. That slip is in your order of worship if you are here in the sanctuary. And if you're at home, you can go online and reserve your poinsettia too. So I invite you to do that. There's plenty to go around. And if you're like me and you can't get enough Christmas music this time of year, I would like for you to join us tonight for our live stream only, A Weary World Rejoices, the Christmas concert that Scott and several of our musical artists will be performing in this evening. And I am so excited to watch that with all of you online at 6:30 tonight. So I invite you to tune in for that. It's going to be really wonderful, and I know you won't want to miss it. Now let's all take a moment to still ourselves and prepare ourselves for worship. The Lord be with you. Join us for the call to worship. Throughout all of human history, God's promise has stayed the same.
I will be your God, and you will be my people.
This day we worship our God, whose name, Emmanuel, reminds us of the promise.
God with us.
On this second Sunday of Advent, we give thanks for God's abiding peace among us.
Let us worship God.
Thank you. O breath of life, our source, our goal, who hears the sighs and cries, who hears the troubled hearts, who hears the yearnings of the world for your redeeming presence. Draw near to us this second Sunday of Advent and bring us your day of peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated.
For children's time, and I'm excited to get to talk to some of y'all here in the sanctuary, and those of you that are home watching, gather around the TV because this message is for you today. I know that some of you have already put up your Christmas trees at your house because I've seen pictures of the joy that your parents have posted, and I know that some of you might still be preparing to put up your trees. And we just put up our tree at our house not too long ago. And, you know, when you get those ornaments out of the attic or out of the closet, wherever they are, isn't there one or two of those ornaments that you're looking for every year, your favorite ornament that you think, oh, I can't wait to find the blank ornament? Well, we have one in our house that everyone looks for when it's time to put up the tree. And we look for this box of these two little black bears. I don't know if you can see them. It's like a mama and a baby. And they're the cutest little ornaments that hang on the tree together, side by side. And whoever finds the box gets to put them wherever they want to on the tree so that we can see them every time. And when we look at these ornaments, we think about when we got them. We travel every year to Maine, and we purchased these one year there. And it kind of reminds us of a special time as a family. And so it helps us to bring back some happy memories. Well, I bet you guys have some ornaments like that at your house, too, that you think about. And you think, oh, when I was a little baby, that was the ornament that symbolizes my birth or certain things. Well, guess what? Today is one of my favorite children's times of the year, because usually you guys get to come up with me and help us decorate our Christmas tree here in the sanctuary. This year, we're going to do it a little differently, and we're going to look forward to next year when we can all do it together again. We have a tree over here that is so beautiful, and we put on ornaments that are called chrismons, boys and girls. I'm going to say it again. It's called chrismons. And just like the ornaments on your trees at your house, these ornaments have special meaning, and they help us to remember, one, why we're here and why we do what we do. And so I wanted to share some of the ones that I picked that I thought were most beautiful. Now, they're all hand-painted wooden ornaments that were given to us. And they all have a different meaning. And this one is a butterfly. And on the back, it says the resurrection. And it symbolizes new life. Like we think about it at Easter, right? When Christ dies and rises from the dead. And this one is very special. And it helps us remember that story that we learn about in Sunday school. And then we have this other cool ornament. And it says, let your light so shine. And this one, I think about you all, boys and girls. You guys are the best at this. You know how to let your light shine so that we can see it through you. It's natural. It comes so easy to you, and we can see Christ in you and in others. And that's what this ornament means. Let your light shine so that people can see Christ's love through you. And another ornament that I picked for today, it says, I am the door. I, meaning Jesus, am the door. And if we knock on that door, boys and girls, and we ask Jesus to come into our lives, kind of like Reagan did when she was baptized just a few weeks ago, then Jesus will be with us forever so that we can let our light shine. It's such a special, special thing. And each one of these ornaments reminds us of why Christ loves us and why we should share that love with others. And I'm so proud that we get to decorate this tree every year together. And I'm looking forward to doing that with you next year. I hope that I did okay. You know, I kind of prefer it the way y'all do it. When I get to decorate it with y'all, it's usually the bottom and the middle that's filled with all of the ornament. It's, and it's more beautiful that way. So it's not as pretty this year, boys and girls. It'll be back to normal next year. I hope that when you look at your ornaments on your tree at your house, you think of special family traditions. And when you come to church and when you see us online, you think of our church traditions that we have too and share Christ's love with others. Boys and girls, can we pray together? God, I thank you so much for the traditions of the church and for the traditions of each and every one of these families, Lord. Help us to shine our light and let it show to others, and help us to share your love with those that we meet and come in contact with every day. God, we thank you for the season of Christmas. We thank you for the baby Jesus, and we thank you so much for your love. It's in your most holy name that we pray. Amen. And boys and girls, if you're going to go to preschool praise, Miss Donna is going to be waiting in the back for you.
The scripture reading comes from Isaiah 40:1-5. Comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to join me in these words of peace. Lord, in a season when every heart should be happy and light, many of us are struggling with the heaviness of life, the heaviness that steals hope and peace right out of our stockings. I invite you to breathe. Lord, as the holiday season rushes by, robbing us of intimacy with the child, prompt us to slow down, to stop, to back up, to rest and remember salvation's face. I invite you to breathe. Lord Jesus, you are named Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. You are God with us. In all seasons and in all circumstances, may we embrace your presence. I invite you to stand as you're able, and we'll continue to worship.
this scripture comes from Psalms 85, 1 through 2, and 8 through 13. Lord, you are favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardon all their sins. Selah. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteous and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and will make a path for his steps. The word of God for the people of God.
So led by love.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. If it's all that we sang together, O Holy Night, I think it would be enough. Invite you, as Pastor Cheryl mentioned earlier, to join us this evening for a time of scripture and song and worship at 6:30 on our website. If you can't be available this evening, that's okay. It'll publish to our website just a little bit later on in the evening, and you can watch it and join us for worship at your leisure. All I want for Christmas, however, is for Scott Harrington to take off his robe and get up here and play this drum set. Scott, you've heard the people. At this very moment, right now, at this very instant, we are all spinning on the axis of the earth. Depending upon your relative position, we are all spinning at about 1,000 miles per hour. Can you feel it? Our earth, in a near perfect circle, is orbiting the sun, the center of our solar system, at about 65,000 miles per hour at 30 kilometers per second, for those of you who think in kilometers. Can you feel it? 65,000 miles an hour. Our small little solar system is orbiting around what we think is the center of our Milky Way at about 165,000 miles per hour. Brothers and sisters, can you feel it? Yeah. And as you well know, our Milky Way in our little local group neighborhood is headed towards Virgo at 1.5 million miles per hour at this very moment. Can you feel it? That's in excess of 2 million miles per hour. Every single moment, place your feet on the floor and just feel it. And maybe one reality is we can't feel this varied velocities and plethora of forces because it's hard enough some mornings just to get out of bed. The gravitas of 8.2 meters per second that we experience here presents all the difficulty in the world just to get out of bed in the morning. And though all this may sound complex, that we're rotating as we're spinning, as we're moving, as we're going through the universe of space and time, all of this might sound complex, but it pales in comparison to the complexities and the tensions in our personal relationships. Can a brother get an amen? Yeah. Yeah. And all of this really doesn't seem all that important when you think about what you really want today is for a loved one to be taken by their hand, either by a medical professional or someone else, to lift them out of the bed and to sit them up in their chair. God willing, that they might watch Tottenham beat Arsenal in the North London Derby or watch whatever they want on television. Yeah. We are flying through the universe of space and time at incredible astronomical rates, and yet we can't feel it because of the speed and the force and the gravitas of life right here is far greater. Yeah. In the face of all this, our scriptures say in Psalm 85, as Reagan read so wonderfully, The Lord, you showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the people and pardoned all their sin. And in most translations, English translations, all we get is just a wee footnote. But after these four lines of poetry, in the Hebrew scriptures, it says, Selah, Selah. Eugene Peterson It says that this word is an enigma as far as its meaning. However, its function is rather clear to us. Peterson continues, by the time that we've received the Psalms, which is our prayer book, which is our book of songs, we have all of these scribbles in the margins. And this is where Selah is. It's scribbled into the margins of the original text. Selah, used 80 times, mostly in the book of Psalms, a few times in the book of Habakkuk. You can spell that on your own later. Selah. Likely just a liturgical functioning in a musical way. Selah, as Peterson says, goes beyond what we might understand as meaning, written into the margins. If it were a musical term, I wonder if it is demarcated outside the bounds of the bass and the treble cleft. One of the most crude, inappropriate, hysterical, lovely Southern Baptist women I've ever known was my paternal grandmother. We called her Granny. My friends called her Sergeant Granny because she used the four-letter words that all the sergeants use. And for most of my life, I knew she spent most of her waking hours in the corner of her garage trying to talk at people as they walked by in the neighborhood or yell at cars as they would drive by. She sat in an old wooden rocking chair. She spent many of her hours reading every day the Dallas Morning News. There in the corner of her garage, winter, fall, spring, or summer, she sat. And she had an old, faded, push-button pulse telephone. And I know that she had this telephone because she called me all the time. When I was 18 years old, I was special students, and I got a cell phone. And there was a day in which when your cell phone rang, you would answer it. And no one else ever called me, but my granny called me all the time. Now, wasn't I a special? And I remember there, standing there in the corner of her garage, seeing these yellowing copies of the Dallas Morning News, and there in the margins is the scribble. You see, she would call people. She grew up a poor farming girl in pretty Texas, somewhere between Abilene and Waco. And she would call all the people she had, you know, ever known in her life. She'd just spend her days yelling on the telephone. You could hold the phone out to hear her just fine. And she would call one person and talk to them and say, hey, have you heard from so-and-so? Give me their phone number. And she'd scribble their name and their number on the margin of these old copies of the Dallas Morning News. And I know that this is what she scribbled because I can remember seeing these old copies of the paper. I remember looking at these scribbles in the margins of the paper, and I have no idea what it says. Susie, Sammy, Swami, Samsonite. I was way off. I have no idea whose name and whose number it was, but I know in my heart of hearts she called them. She called them. And I, like you, remember some wonderful people in my life, gifts of grace from God, who don't call in the same way that they used to this time of year. But it is those old copies of the Dallas Morning News that remind us of our scripture. Certainly the words in black, certainly the words in red are inspired and holy, and yet also is the white space. And I know we have computers and cell phones, and I enjoy daily devotionals via email, just like many of you. And also, there is something incredible about paper. You can write in it. And the pen bleeds on backwards on the other side. You know, any time I ever schedule a meeting with someone and they pull out their paper calendar, I know that person means business. I know that person will be on time, which is 15 minutes early for them. And for those of you who are paper calendar people, I don't need to tell you to go out and get a new calendar for 2021. You got a copy 3 months ago and you're ready to go, baby. I think we could all use just a little less screen and a little more pen and paper. And what I mean by that is I think we could all use a little less speed, a little less velocity, a little less force, and a little more Selah. Yeah. Peterson says the definition of this word is enigmatic. However, we can describe some of its meaning. Most literally, it probably means stop and listen. Stop and listen. And to be honest, there may be nothing more any of us need to hear than to stop and to listen to the whisper of God saying to us, Christ is near. Stop and listen. Yeah. The root of the word likely is connected to this verb. Our Hebrew verbs are all just three letters. The root of this word is likely to measure. And at this point in history, to measure, one would lift up and hang upon a scale. To measure. We measure these moments of rest. We are weighed and found beautiful. To measure. A good definition. I called everyone's favorite rabbi this week, Rabbi Deborah Goldman, who serves the congregation here in town, and I asked her, what do you make of this word, Selah? And she said, well, you know, of course, the traditional meanings is to simply say amen. Traditionally, it might just mean truth. However, she sent on an article, a midrash, an interpretation in which the rabbis go back and forth. And one that I found beautiful was the rabbi suggesting that this word means forever. Hear this. Psalm 85. Lord, you have restored the land. Lord, you have forgiven the people. Forever. Yeah. Forever. Yeah. The French, c'est la vie, that's life. Yeah, that's life, because what we're talking about is real life. Yeah. Now, it may come of no surprise to you, but I find a terribly helpful understanding of this word to be the word breathe. 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 It is that vital, involuntary action to breathe, and yet it is also more. Because all good spirituality is more than physical, right? This is why we bow our heads. This is why we close our eyes. This is why we bend our knees. It's more than physical. Christ is the one who connects body and spirit. We are connecting our bodies to our souls and our minds and our hearts when we breathe. Certainly just the physical act of breathing, and yet also to breathe is to become aware. It is to take inventory. It is to slow down and to ask self, why, who, where, when, how am I? Scriptures say, Selah, slow down and breathe. Jake, you get home and you just gave a great sermon about grace, and then you snap at your wife. Selah. All of our relationships might benefit from us to slow down, to breathe. A third of our psalms use this word, Selah. A third of spirituality is to breathe. Those are Hall of Fame kind of numbers. And if you can breathe, you are in the Hall of Fame here. You're doing a third of what our spiritual songbook says to do, to just breathe. Breathe. And in a world flying on a rock, astronomical, incredible rates, in a world that is flying through December at unhealthy rates, in a world that is torn apart by chaos related to medicine, related to economics, related to politics, related to personal relationships, the Psalms tell us to breathe. And however, I find the skeptic in me, and maybe you as well, might ask, is breathing enough? I mean, with all of this going on, is breathing enough? 18 of those 80 psalms that use this word Selah, 18 of them use the word only one time after the first stanza. Yeah. Yeah. One of those other 18 psalms that uses this is what our psalm does today. After the first stanza, you have restored the land, O God. You have forgiven the people, Selah. One of the other psalms that follows that form is, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He saves me for his own righteousness and namesake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Selah. Yea, though I walk through the deepest, darkest valley of life, Selah. Yea, though it is the most difficult and chaotic moment in human history, Selah. What? I mean, this is where we breathe. This is in the deep, dark valley of death is where you want us to stop and breathe? Maybe, unlike you, when I'm in the tough stuff, let's go, baby. Let's get this done. Let's climb this mountain. I'm moving at 2 million miles per hour through space and time. Let's just keep that momentum going and knock this out. Boston, don't stop believing. Ricky Bobby, I want to go fast. Let's get it done. And the scriptures say, breathe. Breathe. Is breathing really enough? And as you well know, the very next words, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Selah, forever, breathe. The very next words, for I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It is enough to breathe. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that God is. Psalm 46 is really special. It gets three Selahs. Breathe, breathe, breathe. You're flying through the universe in excess of 2 million miles per hour. You are in the busiest and most chaotic moment in your lives. And the scripture says, all you got to do is breathe. And when we do this, when we rest, when we amen, when we forever, what we're doing is we are acknowledging that God's behavior is greater than ours. Yeah. God is the one who brings spirit and matter together. The Christ child laid in the manger simply breathing. The Christ child, the one who breathes and is the one who will save us. All then that is required of you is to take in and to let go. Yeah. It is in a time in which there is tremendous racial, political, economic, and medical inequality. This is the time of the first century in which Christ enters the scene and reminds us to say la. And though it is dark, though it is night, the sun is nigh. Though it is dark, though it is nigh, the sun will rise. Brothers and sisters and friends, say la forever. Breathe. I invite you to stand, and we'll continue to worship the one who is God with us together. Amen. Thank you.
Before I pray today, I want to give you three words that I learned as a seventh grader in a choir. The three words are Dona Nobis Pacem. It was years later when I actually found out what those words mean. They mean give us peace. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning one of our flock has just entered the hospital with COVID. His spouse now cannot see him. To help him breathe, to give him love, to hold his hand. Father, Dona Nobis Pacem. Father, another of our flock has lost all manner of employment. They're selling their house, they're selling their business. They don't know what financial road may be ahead for them. Dona Nobis Pacem. Father, all of us are waiting in anticipation, not just an advent of Christmas, but a miracle this year of Christmas. We're waiting for whatever touch you can give us. Dona Nobis Pacem. Father, we bring you our offerings. We bring you ourselves. And in the midst of all of it, Dona Nobis Pacem. Amen.
restores, the Lord forgives, the Lord remembers, the Lord listens, the Lord gives peace. And all we have to do is say, Selah. Just breathe forever in the name of the Prince of Peace. Amen.